I'm George Stevens, and I'm a person. I was held as property as a child. Even before my birth, I was called a slave in an America you wouldn't recognize. But folks like you helped me escape north to freedom. And in 1864, I joined the infantry to fight for my country. I fought so all slaves would be recognized as persons, not property. And we won. But today in Colorado, there are still people called property. Children, just like I was. And that America you thought you wouldn't recognize is all around you. And these children are being killed. This November, vote yes on Amendment 62. Amendment 62 declares unborn children persons, not property. And that's the America I fought for. So visit personhoodcolorado.com. And in November, vote yes on 62. It's the right thing to do.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. This is not Bob Enyard. It's Joe Scott sitting in for Bob. He is going to be doing a different radio show today, all on the life issue. Bob is always around the clock, 24 hours, 7 days a week, working to save the lives of innocent children. And we're just thrilled that he's having the opportunity to reach a different audience today with that message. In the studio with me, I have Josh Agamba. Hi, Josh.
Hey, Joe.
Josh is a sidewalk counselor. He is with me at the mill, and we have some pretty exciting news about today. But first, we're going to talk about some of the other things that we've been doing besides being at the mill, and that's literature drops.
Mm-hmm.
So what's a literature drop, Josh?
Well, we have been taking information about personhood and particularly about Amendment 62. And just bringing it around to different neighborhoods in the Denver metro area and getting it on every door so that people know that Amendment 62 is there.
So that they can vote yes on 62 in November. But you guys, how many of you Agambas are there?
Oh, boy.
There's a lot of you.
There's a lot, for sure.
There's a saying, pretty soon there'll be enough Agambas to what, Josh?
To accomplish anything.
That's right. This is a family that loves the Lord and that has followed his directive to be fruitful, multiply, and they have full quivers, and am I happy? And so is personhood, and so are those babies, because they're all dedicated to the Lord, and they're all willing to work and work hard for the Lord and for the babies. And we need more people like you out there, Josh. More people like your family, more parents like your parents. And Alana comes out with us. That's your cousin. She's Mark's daughter. Just thrilled to have the help of the Agambar family on the streets and at the doors. So literature drops. You did, the Agambar family did, an entire town in 7 hours.
That's... Yeah, we did on Monday, and I wasn't able to make it there for this one, but they did the entire town of Fort Lupton, and then they had extra lit, so they went over into Brighton and started doing more of the Brighton area.
Wow, that is amazing. That kind of dedication is amazing. It was kind of a nice day on Monday, wasn't it? Yeah. So if the Agambar family can do an entire town in a day, I can do a precinct in a day. And I did. I did on Tuesday night. I was outside, that was last night, and we did the precincts in North Glen. And that reminds me, on the Colorado Right to Life homepage, there is a list of teams that are going out to do literature drops in different precincts, and you can check Colorado Right to Life's website and find out where the literature drops are. There are two in Nevada. On Wednesdays and Saturdays, there's one in North Glen, one in Thornton, there's Arapahoe County, and in Denver, there's a couple. So go to that website, team up with them, contact them. It either tells you where to go, there's phone numbers to contact, and hit the streets. If one family can hit an entire town, a few extra pro-lifers can get a couple of precincts done each weekend. Every time a town is done, a precinct is done, the word goes out about Amendment 62, and there's more progress made in saving the lives of innocent children. That's another thing, Josh. Have you checked the campaign tracker lately?
I have been doing it today, yes.
Yeah, you have. So what's happening is, if you go on the campaign tracker like now, you'll see the activity that's happened up until this point. Mm-hmm. But if you go again tomorrow, there should be a lot more activity, or at least some more activity.
And definitely.
That's something that is interesting, but also is so encouraging to me.
Mm-hmm.
Because we see that people are taking an interest and they're putting their feet to their prayers and hitting the streets and getting this information out. It's really fabulous.
Mm-hmm. There's really no reason why we shouldn't be able to hit the entire Denver metro area with literature before the election in November.
And we have plenty of literature.
There's plenty of lit, and we just need people to get out there and get it to people's doors.
Take a day and walk the streets and let us know where you've been, and we'll put it up on the tracker, and we'll cover mm-hmm. the entire state before November. So, Josh, I want to talk about today.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you've been out of town. You've been ministering in Estes Park for a few months. You just came back in the last week or so, right?
That's right, yeah.
And boy, am I happy to have you back, Josh. It's great to have you out there with us. But today at the mill, what happened?
Well, we were up on the ladders, and we noticed that one vehicle, the people from the vehicle hadn't gotten out and gone into the clinic yet. And then it appeared that the man was getting pretty upset. He'd started to get out, but then he got back in and slammed the door. And it looked like they were having an argument. It turns out they were, so we just kind of kept begging, hollering at him and asking him to
come get help.
And eventually the man got out of the car and the woman drove out, and we were able to talk to her just briefly, but then she drove away
in tears, said she was going to keep her baby.
So super excited about that. But then after that, things just kind of opened up. We had just like maybe every 10 minutes, another woman decided to leave. So we got up to a total of four women decided to keep their babies today and leave the abortion clinic. So
that was an amazing day. So for the people that don't understand, at the abortion mill, there's a fence around it that we have to get up above in order to see the women. So we bring ladders. We are the Latter-day Saints,
mm-hmm.
and we get up above the fence, and we make eye contact with those women, and we're able to help them. I remember one of the men, when he was on his way in, he had a hard time getting out of the car because he has a broken heel,
mm-hmm.
and he couldn't get his crutches out, and he couldn't get his wife in there, and he was yelling at me that they already have three children, and I reminded him that they have four. Mm-hmm. And Ken was able to talk to them on the way in, too, because he's at the driveway. My husband, Ken, he's trying to give literature, and that upset him. So they were not happy with us. Remember, he was pretty much screaming.
I do remember.
He was screaming, yelling some things that weren't real nice. And we waited, and about half an hour later, would you say?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they came out. And they stopped, and they mm-hmm. said they were keeping their baby, and the man apologized for being so rude.
Mm-hmm.
And the wife was crying, and we gave them shoes for their kids. It just so happened that a lady showed up with all kinds of clothing, baby clothing and kids' clothing for me, and a whole box of shoes. And the shoes happened to be the size of their kids' feet. And I asked them if they wanted clothes. They said no, they had tons of clothes from people, but they didn't have shoes. And so I had this box of shoes that was just right for them, and they took them all. So I was pretty thrilled about that. It's mm-hmm. less stuff I have to store, and they have shoes. And they were from Pueblo. They had driven all the way up from Pueblo. So, Josh, when you're out there and you're on the ladder, does it get pretty tedious sometimes?
Definitely. It's hard. You wonder, as a car pulls in, what am I going to say to this person? It can be a little overwhelming, and sometimes you feel like I'm just repeating the same old thing. Well, no one responded to this yesterday. Why am I going to keep saying it today? But you never know. You never know when God's going to move and use what little effort we have to accomplish something great. So
And that's what keeps us coming back.
Oh, yes. And man, a day like today, it's hard to beat.
It makes your year, much less your day.
No doubt.
You know, because it's four little babies that are going to see the light of day.
Mm-hmm.
Four families that have the gospel in their hand. Four, I have all their phone numbers, too, so I get to talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be an interesting next few months while we're talking to these women and trying to bring them to Christ. And even though I know for me, being up on that ladder every day, it can get tedious. But what it does for me is lead me closer to Jesus. If I don't stay right with God, I don't have the ability to be out there and have the heart that I need. And mm-hmm. so when you're out there, you're leaning on the Holy Spirit and you're leaning on the Lord, and He's the one that gives you the strength. He's the one. It doesn't matter
right.
what walk of life you're from. It doesn't matter what experience in life you've had. If you want to save a baby, God will use you. You just have to show up.
That's right. I mean, I've spent the last about year now working in a barbecue restaurant, and I tell you, it's not nearly as rewarding feeding people and serving them in a restaurant as it is getting out on the street and working to save a life. I mean, I haven't had a reward like I had today in quite a long time, so.
Yeah, it's a fabulous, fabulous day when you save mm-hmm. one baby, and four is so unusual nowadays that we were pretty much dancing in the streets mm-hmm. this afternoon. So you have gotten, the Augenbaugh family has gotten a group of kids interested in passing out literature.
Yeah.
How'd you do that?
Oh, well, that's a good question. Somehow I think Alana's just, my cousin Alana is just really good at recruiting people for things. We have our group of friends, and I guess instead of going and watching movies or doing those kinds of things, we are always trying to look for ways to be more involved in the Lord's work and accomplishing something. So it definitely helps that that my uncle is always wanting to do that kind of stuff.
And your dad.
And my dad, too, yeah.
I've known you since you were a little boy.
Mm-hmm.
And your uncle and your dad have been out at the mill with us since then, and he's dragged you with him.
Yeah, since I was five.
Yeah. You've been coming out and been faithful. But, folks, this is what it takes to make a godly man. You can't sit in a classroom and tell a child that God is good and God is wonderful and God is your Savior and expect him to gain wisdom and integrity and strength in the Lord unless he exercises those muscles. And I'm looking at a young man that's been exercising them since he was five, and I'll tell you what, I'm proud of him. I don't know how his parents feel. I don't think I can speak for them, but I know that if I'm proud of them, they're much more proud of them. But this is what it takes. It takes kids being out on the street. You know that from your family, getting out on the street, watching these kids exercise their faith. Mm-hmm. Alana, your cousin, where are you two going in a month?
Oh, Alana and I are going to be going to South Africa to serve in an orphanage over there for 6 months. For me, I want to be a father to the fatherless, just like God says that he will be. That's something that God has just put on my heart. So many kids over there, they have women volunteers, but they grow up without having any godly men in their lives. And so I want to be able to be that for some of them for a time.
Well, Josh, I'll miss you, but I can't say that those kids aren't going to be very, very lucky to have you there and very blessed, and I know that they will bless you. Now, these are sick children. A lot of them are sick children, aren't they?
Yes, there's a lot of AIDS children at this orphanage. There's also things like hepatitis, which just in situations in countries in Africa with the cleanliness, hepatitis tends to spread a little more readily than it does here, and they obviously don't have the vaccinations the same as we have here, but
or even the medication.
Now, these kids are fairly blessed, in South Africa's very blessed country as far as having access to medication. So a lot of the HIV positive kids that we'll be working with are in much better health than some that don't have access to that medication, but they still need constant care.
This will be your first trip, right?
It'll be my first trip, yes.
And Alana's
second trip to South Africa, but she also spent some time in Haiti working at an orphanage.
Okay. So you guys, you just pick up and go on your own. You don't go looking for a mission group or somebody to support you. You work all year. Mm-hmm. You earn your own way, and then you just head to the orphanage in South Africa.
That's right, yeah.
So that's pretty neat. Now, do you find mission groups that will send you, or do you connect with a mission group at all to get there so that they know you're legitimate when you show up at the orphanage?
No, really. The way it's happened is that Alana has looked up Christian orphanages online and contacted them personally. A lot of orphanages out there are just looking for volunteers. They're desperate to have people come and help them. And so it's really just a matter of contacting them. This particular orphanage that we'll be working with accepts volunteers of people who aren't Christians. There's a lot of unbelievers from Europe who will go and volunteer because they're into humanitarian things. That's kind of become a trend in our culture. So they're going really for the wrong reasons, but to accomplish something good. But it's a Christian orphanage, and they love to have Christian people come.
So those secular people that are going to these Christian orphanages, they're getting the gospel. So there's another fertile
right.
field for you.
And that's something that Alana expressed the last time she went. She said that she didn't want to be a missionary to Europe. She wanted to go and take care of children in third world countries, and God put her into that European mission field anyway, just because she was surrounded by unbelievers.
Well, don't say you don't want, huh?
That's right.
So are you going to come out to the mill with me again, hopefully?
Oh, I am planning on it. I'm leaving for South Africa September 29th, but until then I am planning on being out there every day that I can.
Oh, fabulous. And Alana, too, because I know that today's her last day of work, so she's not getting out of it without some ribbon from me. She's going to be out there. So once you guys get to Africa, mm-hmm. how long are you going to be there?
We're going to be staying there 6 months.
Six months?
That's right, yeah.
And you fund yourself while you're there?
Yeah. That's another benefit, really, to not going through a mission organization. I think the total cost of this trip is going to be $2,500. That's including airfare, and we're paying the orphanage for room and board. So,
oh, that's neat. You pay the orphanage, so they make money on you being there, and you're giving your time up for free.
Right.
They're not paying you.
Yeah, we're volunteering, but then, we pay them for our room and board. So we're not setting them back another mouth to feed or anything like that. So really, everything that we're bringing is for the benefit of the orphanage and those children.
That's including airfare?
Yes. Yeah, I think the airfare was $1,500, and the room and board for 6 months is $1,000.
Wow.
So I think you can do a full year there for $1,500.
Wow.
Pretty incredible compared to what we think it costs to live over in the United States.
But Josh, I know I've talked to Alana in the past, it's no vacation. They get you up at 5 in the morning and you're running till 7 at night and sometimes a lot later.
Yeah, we'll be working 6 days a week, anywhere from probably an average of 10 hours a day. So we'll be busy.
So Josh, I consider you the product of the pro-life movement.
Mm-hmm.
You agree?
Well, yeah.
Because that's where you learned to do ministry, was on the street with your
absolutely.
Parents.
Yeah, following, my uncle was very involved in Operation Rescue, and my dad and my uncle have been going down to the abortion clinics and sidewalk counseling for as long as I can remember, and my mom and my aunt would go as well, so...
That's right. You've learned. That's where you got your basic training.
Oh, absolutely. I remember being nervous to get up on the ladders and nervous to speak up and talk to people. But it's one of those things when you see your parents doing something, it's easier to follow in their footsteps. When you see your parents passionate about something, it's easier to get on board with them. I mean, that's really discipleship. That's what it means to raise children up in the way that they should go.
Were you homeschooled, Josh?
Yeah.
That's what I thought. So you have been trained at your mother's knee, mm-hmm. and on the street with your dad and your cousins and your uncles. And so this is what it produces, folks. When you pull your kids out of the public school system, you sit them down at your knee at home, you teach them what God wants them to know. Mm-hmm. You're not allowing them to be thrown into a situation where they're inculcated with all kinds of secular views, all kinds of sin. You got out of that, Josh.
I did, yeah.
You got out of that. Now, how old are you?
I'm 23 now.
You're 23. So do you feel like you've missed out on so much stuff that you could have had in the public school?
Oh, yeah. I have no social life, and my education is really lacking. But other than that, I'm doing pretty good.
No. No, you have a pretty good social life.
I do. I'm very blessed with some Christian friends. And
so you don't feel like you weren't socialized?
Oh, no.
And I know a lot of your friends, and they are just as well-adjusted and dedicated to the Lord as you are.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what gives me hope for the future. You know, after I deal with kids every day that are from the culture, from the world, and you hear and see what they do over and over and over again, it could be depressing, but in the back of my mind, I think, we've got those homeschooled kids. We have those kids that are coming up that have been trained right, that have a real concept of right and wrong,
mm-hmm.
of God and the future. They understand history. These guys are the cream of the crop. You guys are the ones that are raising to the top of the barrel, and you guys are the ones that are going to have to take care of me in a few years when I'm in the nursing home.
That seems like a big responsibility, actually.
Yeah, no. It is. But you guys can do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Mm-hmm. You think about the kids in the world. They've been brought up in the public school system. They've been inculcated with lies and deception and foolishness.
Mm-hmm.
Right? When it comes down to where the rubber meets the road, who's going to be able to take the lead? Someone who has no experience and no understanding of right and wrong, or someone who's been on the street and running, up and running since he's 5 years old, and he gets it. Who's going to take the lead?
I sure hope that it'll be us, the homeschoolers, but we'll see. Certainly when it comes to sharing the gospel and spreading the truth of Christ, I think we'll have a little bit of an advantage.
Well, strength comes from Christ.
That's right.
Strength
That's right.
And wisdom and knowledge, it all comes from Christ. And you've learned it since you were young. And I know so many homeschool kids
mm-hmm.
that have had the same advantage that you have. And they are the hope of the future. At least they're my hope. They're what you guys are, what keeps me going. Because I see too much of the opposite every day. Although, when we're there, we can reach out to the world and pull them onto our side, and that's mm-hmm. very cool.
And I have seen people who grew up in the public schools apart from Christ who come to Christ, and you can't underestimate the change that Christ can make in somebody's life.
That's right.
It's fantastic. So he can rescue people from the perversion that they've learned in the public schools and whatever situation that they've come out of. So.
You guys hit the 16th Street Mall, don't you?
Yeah, my uncle, again, I wasn't able to get to that, to this last time they went, but they did an outreach at the 16th Street Mall, and they were just passing out gospel tracts called The Worth of Man, that deal with both the personhood of the preborn child, as well as the fact that we find our worth in God and not in wealth or the things that this world tells us we should value.
Yeah, so. That makes everybody worth mm-hmm. not worthy, but worthwhile. We all have intrinsic worth to yeah. God.
Mm-hmm.
All we have to do is turn it over to him so he can use it. And that's something that everyone needs to hear. But you guys are down there on the streets. You're handing out the literature. You're witnessing to people. That's fabulous, Josh. That is, you don't know how much good you're doing. You know, God's word doesn't return void. And
yeah.
You're getting it out there, and that's what matters.
Yeah, and it's important to not be discouraged when you don't see immediate fruit, because with the gospel, sometimes you don't, you know, sometimes that person doesn't respond right away, but that doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit doesn't continue to work in that person's life, and they come to Christ later, and who knows, they can be the next, they could be the next missionary to China, they could be the next evangelist that has a huge impact for the world. And we see the same thing in the pro-life movement. We don't always know when a baby's saved, but then we see those moms come back years later with their children, and they say, you know, I saw your signs, and I just kept driving. I couldn't go in. So it's worth just getting out there and letting the Lord use you as He will. But if you sit at home, you're not going to do much for the kingdom.
No, you won't. One day, a lady drove by. Her daughter was 8 years old, and she pulled up and said, I just wanted to say thank you. I didn't kill you, my baby, because you were here. And she told us the story of moving from Denver to Texas. And while they were in Texas, someone broke into their house and tied them all up. And he had a gun. But Patricia, the little one, wouldn't shut up. She kept screaming, and he kept telling her to shut up or he was going to shoot her, and she wouldn't, and she kept talking. And the guy finally, he wasn't going to shoot a child. He ran out of the house. So she came back, and she said, you saved our baby, and our baby saved our life. What a day that was, you know. It was an amazing story. And we took them to lunch, and Patricia doesn't shut up. She talks an awful lot. We only have another minute left, I think, Josh. Tomorrow we're going to be at the mill at 9:30. Tonight there are literature drops going on in Arvada. If you check Colorado Right to Life's website, at 5:30 at McDonald's at Kipling and 58th, they can sure use a few extra people. We got a lot of work to do tonight. It's fun. You meet at McDonald's. You get some iced coffee. That stuff is good at McDonald's, and it's cheaper than the other places. Folks, thanks for listening.